And I have a lot of stories about these women if you want to talk to me afterwards. Really, really good ones. And I want to say thanks to Joan and Jimmy. And you guys have done so much for us and for poetry and for me in particular. I remember Jimmy when he was a young man. You know, you deserve that. And I got a lot of stories about that. And also thanks to Don. Okay, so I'm going to read some new poems. This one is for Jennifer Jackson Berry. This is for Jennifer Jackson Berry. It's called Inside the Cardinal. I'm in the belly of a bird and I'm singing red, my sharp crest spiking when I down slur. I'm your mother's voice when she spots me on the old porch, the shrill of the stand-up Yamaha, the vibrating E-string on the yellow Strat. Will you love my loud metallic song? I like to sit low in the shrubs and hang out in the woodlots. Don't try to explain my sound. It's too red, too hot. Look at me hunched over, my tail pointed straight down. It's just a small fire in me, but soon it will flame. With the next intruder, the next shot of wind, the next morning, filling the air with a dark carbon. It will take your head off a thousand times over. So I was just in Santa Fe for a while at this residency, and it was kind of fun. And when I was there, I got to see Pussy Riot. You guys know Pussy Riot, yeah, which was great. And but then I started writing these poems about pubic hair, and so that's just what happened. So I thought I'd read a couple of those. So do you guys know what a merkin is? Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't. Okay, but it's in the poem. Okay, Bernadette knew. This is called Lowrider for Rose. Nikki's in the kitchen of the artist residency talking about merkins. What? I said. You know, they're kind of like pussy wigs made of faux fur, sort of like wearing earrings. Cute, but I'm not sure who wears them. 6.5 months pregnant, she's jump talking. I think of my baby like it's an arm. That's how liberal I am about it. I don't know what she means, but I find out that Kate Winslet wore one when she filmed The Reader. Kate tells Allure, because of years of waxing, as all of us girls know, it doesn't come back quite the way it used to. Nikki and I drive to the art gallery to see Rose, the lowrider, Breeze painting her 69 Impala. Rose, with her dusty boots and sideways cap, makes me stop thinking until Nikki says, I can't see down there because I'm knocked up. I usually trim it, but I can't have a relationship with my parts right now. I can tell Rose thinks we're a couple. The baby bump in Nikki's black dress is ours. The Daily Beast says it's usually fur or beaver pelts, while men wear loops or chains, more like a codpiece. And everyone's wearing them. Patricia Arquette in Human Nature, Rooney Mara in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Samantha in Sex and the City, the woman cadaver in Boardwalk Empire, keeping it real for the Prohibition era. And I wonder, is the hair supposed to look dead too? I'm watching Rose, the spray painted Impala. She says, I had to rebuild the carburetor this morning, and I'm nodding. Mary Louise Parker in Angels in America, Jake Gyllenhaal in Love and Other Drugs, Gretchen Mol, All Skin, and the notorious Betty Page. But so many questions. What about industrial glue and pelvic burns? What about the Chipotle chicken melt with guacamole ad right above the Merkins for Stars article? And why Evan Rachel Wood said no in Mildred Pierce? And I'm thinking now about Rose. What would she want? Thinking about the word postiche, her thick lips, the tattooed X's on her tough woman fingers. So here's another pubic hair poem. I met this woman, Nikki Pike, who was very cool, and she is the descendant of Zebulon Pike of Pike's Peak. So she's in the poem. It's called Blue Rider for Nikki. I met a descendant of Zebulon Pike, Pike's Peak, in Santa Fe. She told me she thought a blowjob was when you went to the beauty salon to get your hair done. I mean your hair down there. She thought it was a blow dye job, maybe a blue rider, cobalt for the cold Colorado nights, or a low chaparral for the tough brush and desert browns. She shared all this with her teenage friends, and they believed. They had questions. If it's a dirty thing, then why do you go to the salon? I was always afraid of it, but now I think I'll get a desert gold landing strip the color of homegrown maize. The burning question, if Pike's Peak is one of the biggest cocks in the world, highest of the southern front range of the Rockies, then shouldn't there be a 14er? Longest, tallest pussy hair west of the Mississippi, bleached and snow-covered. What would Zebulon say? He was a fan of the front range. Why not the pink granite, sexier than potassium feldspar, pink front lawn with shaved steps to glory? The choke cherry for thorny S&M, dark red with a too-tight weave. When her friends made an appointment for a blowjob, they sat under the dryers in the salon, their heads fried. My friend, the descendant, found out about sucking, became a blue rider, and the 14,115-foot cock of the Rockies erupted. Okay, we're going to move on now from that. So I was in Canada last year and way out there and up there, and I started writing about animals, and I thought, oh boy, I think I've been outside too long. So I don't really write about animals. So I was writing about this elk, and so I have this poem, and but then about halfway through it turns city. It's called The Kindness, Banff, Alberta. The mother elk and two babies are sniffing the metal handle of the bear-proof trash bin. I remember the instructions for city people. 3 football fields of space between you and the elk if their babies are with them. I'm backing up slowly, watching the calves run into each other as they bend to eat grass, look up at the mother at the same time. The caramel color of their coat, the sloping line of their small snouts, and I want to hold that beauty, steal it from me. But I'm only on football field number 2 and backing into the woods past the lodgepole pines. Their fragility, their awkward bumping, opens me to a long ago time. A hand on the door, I was walking in to the psych hospital in Pittsburgh. Feeling broken and stripped down, a hand on the door from around my body, and I looked up to see the body of a man who said, "Let me get that for you." A hand on the door and the bottom of me dropped. I couldn't breathe for the kindness. I couldn't say how deep that went for me. I had been backing up awkward. I had been blind to my own beauty. Just have a couple more. This I have 2 poems I've been trying to write for a while. And I used to be a social worker years ago and worked in an abortion clinic. This is about a day, a Saturday, when a 12-year-old girl came in for an abortion. This is called Abortion with Gun Barrel. The 12-year-old walks thin, like a child, her hair alive in vibrating threads in the clinic light. Her mother, my daughter, I give my permission. And the girl cannot be real or the sky would burn, not bleed like it does in the waiting room of grown women. The mother in the brittle inner office scribbles her name small on the collapsing form. Now move the flying hands of the counselor who becomes her first bird, stripping the sky blank with air leaving. Now she walks back to the maze of illuminated bodies to find a way to make herself dissolve. Not what I wanted for you. Not this. In the inner body of the clinic, the divining of this choice, the small name solid, the songbird stopped, the singing continues. I am the counselor. There are cracks in the barrel of the gun. There is aiming, shots of sorrow, shots of light. I am ruinous with light. We are ruinous with making our lives in the procedure room. The 12-year-old opens the leaving door, a bird let loose, no clear note to sing. Song of sorrow and praise as she wears the skin of herself, this idea of skin that she's learning, her body. Okay, and I'm going to end with this poem that you may know something about, I don't know. You know, it starts with an epigraph by Jim Morrison, and I know I have to stop talking about Jim Morrison, but I don't know. Here he is. Out here on the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we are stoned, immaculate. Dropping blotter acid at the slag dump. In the field behind the shopping center, at the slag dump on Route 51, down from Isley's, us working class kids would hang. We took our small bodies down to watch the miraculous molten steel being dumped from the rail cars. There was nothing like the exploding orange liquid against the blue-black sky, nothing like the warm breeze and the smell of exhaust from passing cars. All our fathers were steelworkers or factory workers, and all we were was bored stoned, lying on our backs in the field by the dump. But the night we dropped blotter, it all jackknifed. The steel sparked a firestorm of subatomic orange, falling liquid stars over us, then oozing into new rivers of running from my days, from everyone. And then the breeze wasn't air, but a floating man, a tree let loose from its moorings, a glittering fire. And at the same time, the wreckage of my days slipped into the lovely, just slipped right in, into quiet. Is there a way you can know this? I doubt it. Does it matter? No. Then hours and hours and the jackknife back into grinding gears, the machines, the dumping of fire on that common Pittsburgh night. Still, I would like to be that still again. That one person in a field of wild grass in the midst of nothing but glittering. In daylight, the slag cracked barren, volcanic, almost lunar, mountain of slag, mountain of what we were made of, Duquesne Works, Edgar Thompson, and Homestead Steel. Rail cars operated by the Union Railroad hauled molten slag to the growing mountain. Silicon, phosphorus, manganese, and limestone, what was left from the open hearth. By the time the dumping stopped in the 60s, the mountain stood 200 feet high and covered the equivalent of 130-60 blocks, city blocks. What did we know but steel and fire? We'd wait for the jackknife, watch those ladle cars slice up the sky, spill their load down the mountain, cheering for the red glow for our dying, for the deaths we knew nothing about yet. Our fathers who would die of lung cancer, emphysema from the mills, the sweat and blood from all those bodies in the air, taking in all that beauty, washing it down. Thank you.